Welcome to Uva Ball Raw USA. So It looks like in the time that we didn't have a show, the Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade, making abortion illegal on a federal level and now bringing it back to the states. What do you think of this?
Yeah, that shows an unbelievable success for Donald Trump in a way that he was able, as the only president in the history, to put three fascist, ultra-religious, crazy fuckers in the Supreme Court, right? So, I mean, the Clarence Thomas guy said even today he wants to go after same-sex marriage, and he wants to also maybe disallow even birth control.
Oh my goodness.
I mean,
so basically
what are we, in the middle age, medieval times now, or what? I mean, it's absolutely insane. And I just finished watching Bill Maher from yesterday, and they had all the same opinion that the Republicans are really able to play the long game. They know what really matters. And in Trump's 4 years, what really mattered was that they took completely control over the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the same with the New York. They did another judgment this week, the Supreme Court, where they still allow in New York to carry a concealed gun. That it's your right to carry a concealed gun, like in New York. I mean, what the fuck? They're moving the country backwards.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know, so.
But what are we going to do? What, vote only Democrat? Or do you think that would make a difference?
No, the thing is, like, they have a big, Bill Maher also had a big discussion about it, that they say, like, Biden is not a candidate who will win the next election, for example, against Ron DeSantis. You know, so if the Republicans will pull out, there are two options, right? Trump runs again. That would bring maybe Biden in a situation where he would have a chance. They bring a new guy like a Ron DeSantis, and he will 100% win against Biden.
Well, DeSantis is polling ahead of Trump right now. So he could get the nomination for the Republican Party. It's very possible.
Totally. It's and I think but Bill Maher made a good point in the show too. He said, "Look, he said DeSantis is a crazy conservative."
Yes. Yeah.
But he's not a completely lunatic like
he's
Donald
smart.
Trump.
Yeah, he's like Trump with a brain.
Yes, and Trump, as we learned like the hard way, even in the in January 6th in the whole commission with all the witnesses, Trump and his family are only about themselves. They are selfish, egocentric pricks who would let every American die before they lose a dollar.
Yeah.
They would sell out everybody they ever knew. And he did it. He sold everybody out who didn't want to go on the train with him to overturn the elections and to fake elections and to screw people over and to shoot Mike Pence and all that stuff. He would went so far that on that day, the January 6th, there would be a violent revolution. Mike Pence would get hanged. Nancy Pelosi would get shot. He would say, okay, I'm the president. The election was invalid. I'm still the president. We do martial law. And I'm now like the military leader of the USA. That is what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
I think that was his plan. And that shows how ruthless he is, that he just, you cannot trust him. And you can also definitely don't trust him, whatever he says. And I think DeSantis, of course, for me, is also not really a candidate I would vote for. But I don't think I say it this way. He's still too young to want to lead us in the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, I think he doesn't, it's not his plan to destroy America, to have a civil war, and that the democracy is gone. I don't think that is Ron DeSantis' game plan. And that alone makes him a better candidate as Donald Trump. So, but the easiest way to get Trump off the election train is to charge him now. To put him in jail, like charge him for treason, have a long, dragged out trial against him. And then he cannot, next year they have to make the decision who's the candidate. So he cannot even run and go, he will have no time to do this kind of like Republican candidate competition, you know. But he needs to get charged. All that talk, we read every day breaking news. Every day we read bigger scandals, bigger witnesses against him, but it still doesn't count. It still has no legal impact against him.
Yeah, there's no repercussions to his actions.
Yes,
but there needs to be. I agree with that. There needs to be, otherwise the precedent is set that people can get away with this kind of thing in the future.
Yes, and they in a lot of countries they're getting away with it, like a Putin gets away with it, Erdogan in Turkey gets away with it, in just faking elections or making it impossible for some population groups to vote. And you know, and that is the thing. I mean, that is the whole gerrymandering shouldn't be allowed at all. You know, this kind of like you put some precincts, like some parts of the city now are counting for a different candidate, whatever. Gerrymandering means you change sections of a city in a way that you want it. You know, you look up, okay, how many Republicans are in this street? Okay, if we get this street moved over in this election district, then we win. And then you have like this kind of completely rigging, completely absurd bullshit elections. I just don't get that. For example, if you have in Germany an election, so, and you have the candidate for my city where I live in Mainz, like the candidate who goes to the parliament is the candidate who wins this city. There are no different little parts of the city. It counts the city of Mainz. If you're a citizen of the city of Mainz, you vote for whatever, the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats, the Green Parties, whatever. And whoever wins gets the seat in the Senate here in Germany, like in the parliament, right? So, and there is in this way no gerrymandering, because it's just like who has the most votes win, end of the story. And not like, oh, but I got this district, now I get one more congressional guy, and then I get another congressional guy there, whatever. I think that should be allowed. You know, I mean, it's so, US is in a way very easily cut, and you just would say, whatever, if New York City wins, if it's 60-40 in New York City for the Democrats, or 70-30, then whatever, they're getting seven guys in, and the other guy's getting three guys in. You know, and this is what the Republicans working on for years now, to completely rig that system in their favor.
Oh yeah, the system is totally broken. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
of course. And I just don't know what we're supposed to do to fight this, to stop this, to get control back of our lives.
Yeah, and then there was a guy in the Bill Maher show, when you think about Roe and Wade, the abortion rights. He brought up, and it's true, that in most of the westernized countries, it's not in the constitution or anything about abortion. It's just not part of it. So the parliaments voted like that are our rules for abortion. For example, in Germany, it's 12 weeks. You can have an abortion up to 12 weeks. So not 15 weeks, how it was in US. So the late abortions in US are not possible in Germany, so you have to get the abortion till up to 12 weeks, and then it's not allowed anymore. only if your embryo is basically extremely degenerated, sick, handicapped, whatever, you know, or you, of course, if it's a result of a rape, if it's a result of incest, like brothers and sisters making a baby and something like this, that is human, like, let's say, common sense to allow abortions in this kind of situation. If the mother is a single mother pregnant and is a total crack heroin addict, an abortion is the best thing what can happen. But of course, the abortion should happen within the first 12 weeks and not like when the baby has a brain already.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not pro late abortions, but in general, if abortions are everywhere and if they're legal, then of course any woman can way easier, earlier, get rid of the baby with the pill after. For example, you know, I mean, if you feel you're pregnant, the pill after now works up to, I think, 8 weeks. I think pills, you can take pills for 8 weeks after you got pregnant, and then the baby is gone, because the baby is the size of a fly at that yeah. point. You know, so, and there's, it's insane that even that it's even possible for a Supreme Court to declare abortion illegal.
Yeah, this really hits me pretty hard, because I think that people should have the right to choose over what happens to their bodies.
Totally.
Because people are still going to get abortions out there. They're yeah. just going to get them more unsafe and more unsafe circumstances, and they're going to put their lives at risk. So I don't understand what this is like. Whatever happened to the separation of church and state? It's like they're becoming fused together instead. And I don't think this is what our forefathers saw. I mean, of course, they couldn't have seen abortion, but church and state separate the two.
Yeah, and it's like, look, the one Supreme Court judge, that woman who came in late, right? She, whatever. There are videos from her that she speaks in tongues. You know, that crazy mega Christian bullshit where they're bubbling around, where you feel like, oh my fucking God, she has to be in a psych ward, but not
where they're like. Where they're like, babadoo, 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 babadoo.
I know. So, yeah. If you're already so far down the drain, how can you be even considered to be any judge?
I had no fucking idea she was that crazy, man. That's yeah. funny.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
God.
Horrible, you know, and it's like this kind of like, I mean, the Congress is full of conspiracy theorists, crazy people, you know, crazy religious, crazy over the hill. And it's just like shocking to see this, that that is even possible, that you can be considered for a job like this. But
you're,
of course,
are you talking about Amy Coney,
because of it?
Amy Coney Barrett, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That you is know. The funniest thing I've heard all day.
You know, and it's just kind of like you don't really know anymore what to make up. Like, I mean, we're living I taped today my German podcast, what comes once a week, right, with the Kai Blasbeck guy.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about the same thing, and it's like we both had the feeling we are in a time period now of the earth where we're going in grave danger now.
Yep.
We're going because what's happening is, for example, going back to the Ukraine war, because it's part of it too, what happens in US, is Putin is winning. You know, so we have a situation where his troops now gaining territory, and they are successful. As I said from day one on, where everybody said Ukraine will win the war as long as we give them enough weapons, what is total bullshit, because of course Russia will win the war against Ukraine. And I said that from day one on. And but now it's off, like clearer, it gets clearer every day. And so, and all the sanctions hit the West harder as Putin. So means we are losing on all aspects. I talked to a friend of mine a few days ago, who is on social welfare. And he said, based on the energy prices going up, so he stopped driving his motorcycle. So now he's basically only driving with the bus on a flat ticket, a monthly ticket. And he still had only $11 left in his, basically from the social welfare check he gets to buy food for the rest of the week. And I talked to him on Thursday. So now he had to bridge Friday, Saturday, Sunday with $11. Means he cannot leave his apartment and sit there and eat whatever, spaghetti, and drinks water from the tap. And if this is the situation already, even in Germany, with 10 million, 15 million, 20 million Germans, that shows what the high energy prices are doing, like the inflation, the 8% inflation, because all the food got so much more expensive too, with us. And that is the direct response. All of this would never happened without the sanctions against the Russians. So now we could say, okay, but look what we should do, what we should did, like to close our eyes and Russian takes Ukraine and we give a shit about it. And I tell you, within the next 3, 4, 5 months, more and more people will say exactly what I just said. You know, look at US. US pumps billions and 50 billion, 60 billions, 80 billions in the Ukraine thing against Russia. And what is the result for the US? That money is gone. Yeah, the Ukrainians having the better weapons, fighting longer against the Russians. But at the same time, in US, the inflation goes through the roof. The interest rates going through the roof. Mortgages falling apart. Food prices goes through the roof. And so what is the benefit? In Russia, the whole time, everybody was poor. Only a few people had money. Nothing changed. And he makes double because his business is selling gas and oil. Now he sells all his shit to Iran, to India, to China, to South Africa, to Brazil. He sells it just to other people and they give him double as what he got before. He sells half of it, makes the same money like before. And because he doesn't even need the German money anymore, he reduced in the pipeline to Germany, he reduced gas 50% down just to piss the Germans like us off here, right? To show, look guys, in winter, I will just cut the pipeline off and Germany will fucking freeze. Yeah. So, you know, but that is the thing. So what I don't like with the argumentation of the politics is you cannot negotiate with Putin. He's a dictator. He's a murderer. Yeah, but we do that with any other dictator we negotiate also. With any other dictator in the history, we had relationships. Not only with the Saudis, but before there was good relationships with Gaddafi from Libya, with Saddam Hussein before he turned into an enemy. And then and on paper, he was the biggest friend of Osama bin Laden, even if he never met him and he would never supported Osama bin Laden. But that was the end of Saddam Hussein. But a lot of dictators made a lot of deals with the West. And where I see the big threat is that with another Republican coming in and Biden losing the next election, that the West, as we know it, falls completely apart. And China, Russia, and all that dictator-driven countries basically will rule the world.
You know,
because the only thing what was dividing us and why the West was so strong always was based on the economic power. But if the economic power goes down the drain because of inflation and unemployment and half of the population is starving, then we're moving in situations like in China. You know, like in China, nobody cares if like 100 million people starve to death. The Chinese government doesn't care. They give a shit. And that is the thing. In that situation, we're moving in. And I think Putin now sees himself as the winner, you know, as the winner of the war. And now he has less and less reasons to settle, because he knows the NATO will not interfere. He knows the Ukrainians, even if they get new weapons from time to time, will not defeat him. He knows he took basically the south of the Ukraine already in his pocket. And he knows he makes the same amount of money as before the sanctions.
Yeah.
You know, that is the thing. He doesn't care that some oligarchs don't have a yacht anymore or the foreign accounts were frozen. He gives a fucking shit about them. He builded all the oligarchs and he will dump them also into the gutter. Like, he gives a shit about them. So that is the thing. If he thinks the same amount of money comes in every year, but from different territories, he will completely keep working on destroying Europe.
Yeah, I think Russia is playing the long game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right now for Russia, what, like, his narrative now is basically why I should settle now. He offered to settle that war 2 months ago and said, I don't want the Ukraine in the NATO. I don't want to, I want the Ukraine a neutral state. I don't want that the Ukraine has basically any kind of affiliation with the West, whatever. And I want to guarantee that the NATO is not taking more countries in. So, but we didn't give it to him. So then now he maneuvered himself out of the total sanction disaster. I think the sanctions in the beginning were hitting him hard. But as a good politic guy, he turned it around in his favor.
Yeah.
So, and now there is no revolution. Putin is not dying on an illness. He's not getting removed or whatsoever. So now he thinks, as long as I keep doing that war, as better my position will get and more I will get out of them. And maybe I don't even want things from the West. What I want is that the West dissolves, that they're not fighting together anymore, that they give a shit about each other and that nobody protects the other one. And that is what I want. I want that Europe is divided back into individual countries who give a shit about each other. So...
yeah, that would be a frightening change in our world order.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if Trump gets reelected, he would just dump the whole NATO.
Oh boy.
He would say, "Look, why we need the NATO? We are the US. We have the most nuclear bombs. We have the biggest army. So we give a shit. So we're not paying in the NATO anymore. We're not defending Europe anymore. We give a shit about Europe," because he's a Putin fan, right? So, and then Europe would be in a way alone, and the US would be alone. And that is a major mistake when we think about the nearer future with China.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. For this, the only way to defeat countries like China, not military-wise, but more like from a pressure point, of economic pressure, is if the economic power of Europe and US stay together strong as a military alliance like the NATO, but also as an economy alliance, with most of the good products in the world are manufactured from US or European manufacturing. The highest life standard is here. The highest medical standard is, you know, like, that is the thing. It's like, but if all of this dissolves and China, whatever, finally got all the patents and copies every single machine built in Europe and built in US, then they will just win this, because China alone is double of the US and the Europe population.
China, oh, yeah. Alone. China's huge. That's the biggest in the world, right?
Yes. And that is the thing, you know. And if China is in cohorts, like working together with India, where's another two times of the population of Europe and US combined, then Latin America, you will have in Latin America, it's an instability. Every country always is just fighting for survival. But look at Latin America. You have a mix between total socialists and dictators.
Yeah.
You know, or total corrupt drug cartels and so on. So, and that is the thing. And they will deal, like Africa and Latin America, they will deal with everybody who offers them something. It's not like we that they have any kind of, let's say, strong connections to Europe or to US. They go with whoever brings them the biggest benefit or buys their meat, buys their minerals, you know, or the wood from the rainforest. So,
yeah, of course, it's always business first, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but for poor countries, it has to.
Yeah.
You know, they have to go with whatever brings them the most results. And I think what we're seeing here now with the energy prices completely explode, that that idea we're going out of fossil fuels is a good one, but only on the speed where we can get things replaced properly. So if it's getting on like, okay, there's no more gas and oil, now we have to be on all the other alternative energies. The West, specifically the West, is not ready.
Yeah, that's why Biden wanted to do the infrastructure upgrade that the Republicans were voting down. He wanted to make it so electric cars would have more chargers in more remote locations across the country to help support the move away from gas to electric cars.
Yeah, but it needs time. Right. Yeah. You cannot, for example, as you said, like especially US is very big. And if you drive a Tesla and you know there are no fucking loading stations anywhere, you basically can never drive with this car anywhere besides your hometown.
Yeah. Or you'd have to map out ahead of time.
I know. But then 15 other people mapped the same thing out and coming to the same loader station. And then you have to wait 7 hours reading a book to fill up your car.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, that would be horrible. And we had in Germany, we have on the gas stations, this loading things also on the freeway. And but they don't have enough fast loading stations. Because there are loading stations with a Tesla, for example, or any electric car. You can load them up in 15 minutes. But these are special power plugs and special power, like they bring you way faster electricity. They load your battery off.
Mean like instead of charging it overnight, you could get it done like in a couple hours?
No, in 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
But they are developed already here from various companies, but they are expensive. And right now in Germany, I think are in total 10 of these loading stations. So, but if you think about the future, look, gas stations are everywhere. How long you need to fill up your tank? 5 minutes max, including pay, and you leave. So if this is not a situation where the electric cars are in, then the electric cars cannot take over the fuel-driven cars. The electric cars can only take over the streets in total, so that fuel-driven cars are not existing anymore. If you have loading stations, they fill up your car in 15 minutes or faster.
Yeah.
Then people can go for it, right? Then you can say, okay, I don't need a fuel-driven car anymore at all because these things are everywhere. I can fill up very fast. But the loading stations right now in Germany, the majority of them needs like 3 hours to charge your battery. So who wants to drive from Cologne to Munich and you do a rest in the middle of the road because your battery is empty and you're like 4 hours at the gas station standing?
Oh, boy.
It's insane. Then you better go in an airplane. it's like, so, but that is the thing. I think we have the energy change to solar, to water, to sun, hydro. It's super important. It has to happen. And the good thing is we now getting totally basically pushed because of the Ukraine war to do all of this faster, what is good. But it's impossible to do it fast enough without having basically a revolution going on because too many people falling through the social net.
Yeah.
You know, like they're losing their jobs. They have no food. They cannot, if you say, okay, we give 3% more social welfare checks, or we do 3% more loan, like salary, that the salary is going up 3%. That doesn't help you if food gets 20% more expensive per year.
Yeah.
So, and that is, I think, the right now what we're facing, you know. So that is the reason I'm still have the opinion we need to negotiate with Putin.
Yeah. No, Putin needs to feel like he has a role in world affairs, even if it's like we need to be able to know how to deal with Putin. Like yeah. When you deal with a child, the child has to feel like he's in control, right? Even if it's not true. So not saying that Putin is a child, but there's got to be a way that we can integrate him into our thought process and into our decision making. Like you say, the G7, you know, to bring him back into the fold so that he feels like he's a player again, so that he'll play nice. Because it feels like he was playing nicer when he was a participant in these various, you know, things. Now he's gotten off the handle, and it's because he has nothing to fucking lose. You know what I mean?
But that is also the thing where I feel like it's so absurd. Like today in my German podcast, I had the whole dispute about, because we talked about in Germany are like a lot of Arab clans, right? So there are like clans from the Arabs, from the migrants, and they basically creating their own legal system, their own law. And tons of them have big Ferraris, whatever. And we all know they are completely criminals. And but it's the state of law. If you cannot prove it, you cannot take things away from them. So, and in all the trials against them, the witnesses, tons of witnesses, are not talking because they're getting threatened. So, and I said, And then my colleague here in Germany, he said, yeah, but you don't want to negotiate with the Arab clans, but you want to negotiate with Putin. So, and I said, no, wait one second. Putin is the president of Russia and has nuclear bombs, like 100 times more as you need to destroy the whole world. So I said, with Putin, we have to negotiate. And I say, there is the difference. As if the Arab clans, we don't have to negotiate. We just need to adjust the law that if they cannot prove all the shit they have are bought with like legal money, if they just cannot prove anything, why they have $6 million and buy a house and a Ferrari for $350,000, if they cannot prove where the money comes from, we have to take it away from them.
Yeah.
You know, we have to say, look, fuckers, it's over for us, for you. And if you continue with what intimidating witnesses, whatever, we just ship you all back to the Lebanon, wherever the fuck you come from, because we don't have time to play this fair, because that is the power of the state, you know. But of course, again, with Putin, he's a criminal too, but we have to negotiate with him. And as you said, I think he got pushed over the edge in the last 20 years of his dictatorship so much that it growed in him to do this war. It basically growed slowly that he was rejected even from the G20 out, G7 out, no seat in the UN, completely ignorance from the West. The West took 10 more countries in the NATO and the EU. Even if he said, I don't want that, don't get more countries in, they're coming closer and closer to Russia. All that shit. He always pointed it out for years and years and years and got completely ignored. You know, they were saying like, shut the fuck up. We do whatever we want. So, boom. And then he exploded and invaded Ukraine.
Yeah.
And we did sanctions to make him bankrupt. Right. So, and now it turns out the sanctions hurting us more as him, and the war is a long game war, endless bullshit going on. 10 million refugees out of Ukraine already into Europe, people drawn apart, women and children out of Ukraine, only guys stay, and they're fighting and they're dying and they're losing in a slow way the war. So I don't know, but maybe it's time for us to see the reality. You know, the reality is we're not winning the war. Putin is not suffering. He's not getting removed. He's not getting killed. So maybe we should accept this and tell him, okay, you know what? you made your point. It's horrible for everybody. It will be very horrible for the Ukraine. But we need to end this. Because not you and us want to have a third world war. Not you and us want that people starve to death. You are there as the president of Russia also to make the life of the Russian on the long term better. So, and you get your seat back. And we are not, you're not getting charged for crimes, war crimes. You're not getting, you know, because war crimes are everywhere where war is. You cannot have a war. Where was the war crimes in Iraq? You think when the US removed Saddam Hussein, did the Iraq war, that no civilians were killed or no kids and women were killed? Of course.
Yeah.
The bomb cities, tons of people getting killed, but there were not so much reports about it.
Yeah, there was a lot of drones that killed lots of families.
Totally, you know, and now in the Ukraine, because of course the Ukraine plays a very good PR campaign, you know, because they need the West on their side or they're losing the war in an even more devastating way. So every single woman, old person or kid who gets killed in Ukraine gets dragged, they're all getting their own press release. Every single person. When you said, I looked it up, for example, yesterday in the whole Ukraine war, four dead. Four people.
Oh, wow.
Yes, this is what I mean. It's like you have some days where 100 dead people, you have, but they're mostly soldiers dead, you know, when a big battle erupts somewhere. But then you have also whatever, like days where nothing happens. Then you have like three rockets flying somewhere and whatever, two people dead. But it's not like Berlin 1944.
Yeah.
Where you had like per night 40,000 people dead every single night, you know, and that is what I mean. It's like here is a big difference with the Ukrainians selling that war as World War III, but it's not. You know, I mean, that is the thing. It's just far away from any world war. It's more a war, what we have in Syria, what we had in Iraq, Iran. It's more like a third country war, what is fought slowly and where it's not like this kind of collateral damage as you have in a real world war, where then there are no more holdbacks, you know, so then it's just over and we exchanging the biggest weapons on earth and you have absolutely collateral damage. And that of course is far away of what happens in Ukraine. I don't want to downplay the Ukraine war. I mean, the Ukraine war is a shitty war. It's a horrible war, and Putin should never started it. But I'm just reasoning and talking about the reality here. Biden said Putin has to go, and Biden only gives money to Ukraine, and he's out of it. He's not, like, talking about it. Like, you know, he's not talking to Putin. He's not like, he said Putin has to go. End of the story for Joe Biden.
Yeah, Joe Biden called Putin a murderer and Putin got really pissed off. That's what I mean, is like they need to kind of play a better hand. They need to learn how to not insult him to his face and try and play nice to have a more diplomatic relationship. You know what I mean?
Diplomatic, but you don't have to play. I mean, you don't have to play Putin like, or you're a great guy or something. Of course not. But you also have to arrange.
Well, don't call him a murderer, though. You know, like
exactly. That is the thing. You know, because Putin is very intelligent. He gives a lot of good interviews, right? So he always said, okay, they accuse me I'm a murderer. Should we put the list of the U.S. Actions in other territories together? You know.
Yeah.
That is the thing. It's like then Biden was a murderer before. Also, he was long term in government, you know, and then Bill Clinton was a murderer. Obama was a murderer. They knowingly had people getting pulverized and killed and shot. And, you know, so, I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, and a lot of territories got defended by U.S. troops in Africa, in Latin America, all over the place, Afghanistan, Middle East, over all that years. And you could also said, why there are U.S. troops at all? What you have to do, why you have troops in Mali or somewhere? You know, I mean, there's no reasoning for it. It's not that any of the countries where U.S. troops were in ever would attack the USA. They were only able to pull off some terror attacks, like the September 11 attacks, but they were never able, any of the countries the US got military active in, they were never able to invade or even attack on land the United States of America. Completely impossible. You know, driving with a ship over and saying, yay, we storming out in Manhattan. I mean, it's yeah, and you remember that a lot of US policy was, we only defend us. Historically, yeah. The US said per constitution, everything who attacks the US gets attacked back. So you could say Pearl Harbor was an opener. You know, Pearl Harbor was the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Now you had a reason to declare war against Japan. But nothing else ever happened on US soil.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, that is the thing. And when you have something like the September 11 attacks, they made it in fake news. They created an attack from Saddam Hussein. That is the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Then they made Afghanistan responsible. But the reality was, from the beginning on, that it is a terror organization, Al-Qaeda, who was hiding in Pakistan in the mountains, and that spread over the whole Middle East in individual terrorists. They pulled it off. They did September 11. There was no country behind it. So, and that means the whole Afghanistan war, the whole Iraq II war was completely unjustified. Total bullshit.
There were no weapons of mass destruction, right?
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, it's all heavy subject matters, and you know, when you see now, like Macron did the second round in the elections, right, and didn't. He basically has only 25% of the votes in France.
Okay.
You know, and now the parliament. So Macron is the president of France now, but it would be similar to the US. The Senate and the Congress are in completely the hands of the opposition. So now he can rule, but they will try to limit his ability to be a president to almost nothing. That is what will happen in France the next 4 years. And that is very bad. And that is another point where Putin feels his strategy is working very well, to dissolve Europe as we know it. Because if Le Pen gets on, or the left fascist, like the left communist bloc in France, both want to get out of the EU and the NATO. Both. And so what is left then?
That's a big loss.
Yes, and that would be Putin's big win. You know, because Putin's big goal is to dissolve Europe and to weaken Europe and to weaken the German economy and the NATO and so on. You know, so that is the thing. I mean, and now with the inflation and the recession and less tax dollars coming in, it will get also harder for a country like Germany to maneuver the spending for what you give money. You know, Germany made that decision to spend another 100 billion in military equipment. They ordered already stealth bombers, whatever. But the 100 billion will not do it if the NATO dissolves.
Yeah.
You know, then Germany has to spend 500 billion to be their own power force.
Oh.
You know, so and that is the thing where historically, Putin said that in a lot of interviews too, right? So his main enemy is still Germany because of the Second World War. He felt like this attack from Hitler killing 20 million Russians. Yeah, I mean, insane amount of dead in Russia from the German troops. And Germany had half of Russia. And Russia is one of the biggest countries in the world, but they were everywhere already, in front of St. Petersburg, Moscow, and whatsoever. So that is deep into Russian souls. And okay. they, you know, and they want to weaken Germany mostly. So in Europe, because they know, like, if Germany fails or falls, there is no Europe. Like from a defense position, from a like who has the power in Europe to really fight against Russia. You know, it will be not Italy or Poland who will win in the end a real war against Russia. So it's, and Putin knows that. And he knows, like, if I can dissolve Germany, that they are, like, fighting into each other or gives a don't want to be any leading nation in Europe anymore, that's the best thing what can happen for Putin. So, it's a lot of shit going on at the same time.
So with that thought in mind, I think we're going to wrap it up for today.
Yeah. By the way, my hip is healing. I'm going still on crutches, but with some painkillers, I'm moving in the right direction. So
yes.
I hope next week I can start walking without the crutches for smaller distances. You know, for right now it still hurts too much, but everything heals properly. Nothing is like infected or something, so I feel overall good, and I think
don't push
the chapter is behind me. What?
Don't push yourself too hard, my friend.
No, that is what the doctor said too. He said you're not dying if you're not walking 5K around a day. It's what I'm doing. So I do every day, I do it like a 15-20 minutes walk on crutches in the neighborhood. And the rest, I'm just in the house walking from my desk to the TV to the kitchen and call it a day. Yeah. Okie dokie. Have a good one.
All right. So everybody, just make sure that you follow us on Twitter. UvaBall is UvaBall7. I'm GaryAutto0. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.